And today I want to talk about a word that's one of my favorite words. It's the word adventure. Say adventure.
Adventure.
I know, I make you guys talk a lot. Thank you guys for being such good sports. But God has an adventure planned for your life. See, oftentimes we talk about the plans of God, the purposes of God, but I want us to think of what God has prepared for us as an adventure. Because God's got something for you in your life that I believe is going to be pretty exciting and awesome. And I promise you this, that the things that God prepares for you, they're always exciting. They always stretch us beyond what our expectations are, stretch us beyond our comfort zones. And I believe that God has an epic adventure of the first order prepared for each one of you. Today we're going to look at Luke chapter 9. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, you want to turn to Luke chapter 9. We're going to dig in and we're going to see one of the very first times that Jesus sends out his followers, his disciples, to do something in this world. And he sends them on kind of an epic adventure. The kind of adventure that maybe we would make a movie about, right? It would be a guy with a long beard and a big staff. They're going on an adventure. Some of you guys will get that. And I say the first because this is the first of many times that Jesus would say to his disciples, it's time to go. It's time to go out and go on a mission for me. And missionary is not just a word that Jesus gives to some of his people, but as we'll discover, all of us are called as his followers to be his sent out people. That's the very character, the very nature of his church. We're to be his sent people. And it's not just a word, again, for some of those people. And Jesus, in the scripture we're going to look at this morning, gives specific instructions and gives them a specific plan on what they're to do. And it's one that just like every time God calls us to something, is just a little bit outside their comfort zones. You ever been there? In that place where it's comfortable and you feel like God says, I want you to step a little bit outside your comfort zone. And what does God almost always do in those situations when we'll step outside of our comfort zone? Man, he does something great. He does something great in us. He does something great through us. He does something great in someone else's life that we're able to impact. And the big idea this morning, if you're taking notes on that note sheet this morning, the first idea is this, that God has an amazing adventure planned for your life if you will simply trust him with the outcome. If you'll trust him with the outcome, if you'll say, God, I don't quite see the end of this story, but I trust that where you're leading me is going to be great, even if I can't see it yet. Because I believe, man, it's going to be an adventure. And let me ask you the question this morning as we dig in. Will you trust Jesus with the outcome of your story? Will you trust him with the outcome of what he wants you to do? Let's take a look at their story. Luke chapter 9, we're going to read just the first 9 verses of Luke. And it says this, and he, Jesus, he called the 12 together and he gave them power. Say power.
Power.
He gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey. No staff, no Gandalf staff. You don't get to bring one of those. No staff or bag, nor bread, nor money. And do not have 2 tunics, and whatever house you enter, stay there and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, just shake the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was perplexed. Because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, and some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had arisen. Herod said, John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things? And he sought to see him. Jesus had quite an adventure planned for these men as they stepped out. And little did they know that he was about to do some amazing works in their life and give them the sort of story that people would hear about and say, I want to know more about this story. But that was part 2. Part 1 is what we see today. We see Jesus calling them, Jesus commissioning, empowering, and sending them out into their world. And none of the rest of the story would have happened if they wouldn't say yes. And that was the question. Would they say yes to Jesus? Or would they just say, God, that's a little too big. That's a little too uncomfortable. That's a little too far outside my comfort zone. God, I've got this much room for you. This is how much, God, I'm giving to you. I'm not going to give you my whole life, just this much. Or would instead they say, God, I want to break the box. I'm willing to come out and trust you with all of my life. And that's a question I believe that lies before each one of us today as well. Will we trust the plans that Jesus has for our lives? Will we trust him? Will we step out in faith? Will we jump in with both feet, trusting that God has got us? Would they allow faith to direct their steps, or would they allow fear to overrule their faith? And that's a question that all of us have to grapple with. My prayer for you this morning is that, like these brave disciples of Jesus, that you would allow your belief in the power of God to overrule your fears, your doubts, your uncertainties, because we've all got them, that you would allow your faith to overrule your doubts and all those other things. See, that you would trust that God is able to do anything. We sang about it this morning in worship. He's able to do anything. Nothing's impossible for him. And that you would trust God maybe in a new measure today than you did yesterday. Maybe yesterday you trusted him a little bit. Today you trust him even more, and you take a step of faith. And that is my prayer for you today. I pray that you discover, as these disciples did, that Jesus will equip and prepare you for his purpose in your life. That what Jesus calls you to, he's going to equip you for. He'll see you through it. Now, that might sound like a cliche or some sort of nice-sounding thing, but it's true. Jesus will equip you. He'll prepare you for his purpose in your life. See, our scripture starts in verse 1 and says that he called them together and gave them power and authority. He gave them power. He gave them authority. He equipped them to do what he was calling them to do. Jesus' call for them was a little bit odd, maybe, in their eyes, because he tells them, I want you to go with no preparations, right? So before you leave for this journey, I want you to reach in your back pocket and pull out your wallet and all your money, right, and set it down. I don't bring any cash for this journey. Don't bring any credit cards. Thank God they weren't invented then, right? Don't bring any of those things, but go. And I'll be honest, it's hard for me to even understand this sort of thing. It's hard for me to fathom it. Technology has transformed our world, hasn't it? I mean, just in the past decade, you just think about what life looked like a decade or two decades ago versus what it looks like today, and it's changed it. We don't ever have this feeling of being unprepared anymore, do we? Like, I was just imagining that. I mean, you remember the days when you could pop in the car and just go for a drive? My wife and I used to love to do this. We would just go explore a new city, and we'd have no maps, and we'd have no, like, phones in our pockets, and we'd just drive, and we'd get lost. And it was crazy. We had to, like, stop and look for directions sometimes. But we just explore. And we had this sense of just discovering new things that we never knew were around the corner. Now we're just like, all right, let me find me a 5-star restaurant within 10 miles, right, that I can walk. No, we have it all in our pockets. But it's changed us. My wife and I used to love to do that. But now, if you're wanting to go on a road trip, you don't even have to think about it before you go, right? And many of us don't. We're going to go somewhere that we've never been before, and we just hop in the car, and maybe we tell our GPS in our car, or maybe we talk to our phone, and we get directions, and we're there. It's like, no problem. I'll never forget when I graduated from high school and was going off to Life Bible College. It was my first time going on a long trip. I lived in Northern California, and so, man, to drive down to college was a big deal for me. I was a new driver. I didn't do a whole lot of city driving. I grew up in a suburb, so, you know, I was like, okay, I've got to drive through all these big cities. And so what did I do? I had to go into, you know, in the car and pull out, remember the Rand McNally maps with all the pages, right? So I had to pull that bad boy out, and I was like, all right, I'm going to start here. Oh, it ends there. I got to go to the other page. And I had to plan out this whole voyage of how I was going to get there. And I wrote it all down. There was a couple websites that could do it for me at the time, but they were inaccurate, and I didn't trust them because you can never trust the computers. So I got my map, and I was doing great as long as I didn't miss any turns, right? But if I did, I'd have to pull over and pull that big old map back out again and figure out where I was going. But our world doesn't look that way. anymore, does it? But that's essentially what Jesus is asking his disciples to do. He's saying, I don't want you to pull out your phone and get directions. I don't want you to pull out that Rand McNally map and find a map of where you're going. He says, I want you to go to an unfamiliar city, to places you've never been before, and I want you to go. Just go. But this time, leave your cell phone at home, right? Because, man, with my cell phone, I can just say, hey Siri, get me directions home, right? And she's going to get me directions.
Getting directions to home.
Yeah, she's going to get me directions. I can't get lost. But Jesus says, leave your cell phone at home. He says, in fact, take your car keys, you know, that you would normally be driving. I want you to leave those at home too. He says, I want you to take all the things, all the stuff that you might rely on instead of relying on me and my power. And I want you to leave those behind and just take a step of faith. Leave your extra jacket at home. Leave all the things that you might want to bring. Your Gandalf staff that you've really been working on and excited to bring on this journey, leave it behind. You don't get to be cool and have a Gandalf staff. But he says, don't bring any of those things. Just go. Just do it. Just go. Now, with cell phones in our pockets, we never have to worry about it. But I was thinking about that this last week because we become so reliant on technology. I mean, even exploring the woods and the wilderness. As many of you know, we host a trail life troop, and as one of the leaders of our troop, I have to plan and prepare when we're going to go do an outing and go camping. And we're going to take all these boys deep into the woods, and I've shared a couple stories of helicopter rescues that are pretty fun. But we don't want those kind of rescues, so we're planning, and we have to think about where we're going to go. And so this week, we have this backpacking adventure planned for next month. And so Ezra and I decided we're going to go explore and check it out and make sure it's safe for all the other ones before we take 20 or 30 parents and kids and all sorts of folks that have never done it. We're going to go check it out. And so what do? I go and I research. I look at the maps. And I didn't print any maps out this time. And I didn't have to because, man, this time I had a little safety net. I had this little device, and I'm going to pull it out of my pocket if I can. I had this little device, and it's a little GPS device. And with this thing, man, I can call helicopters to rescue me, right? With this, I can send communication where no cell phones will exist. With this little thing, I can do all sorts of stuff. And, man, I can just follow the track. I drop a pin where I parked my car, and I'll never get lost until the battery runs out. But with this little doodad, I got like a safety net, right? I never have to really explore. I was actually marveling at that. We met some other hikers at the place we were camping, and I asked them where they had been, and I knew all the locations because I had researched it. I knew that there was this peak over here, and it was this many miles high, and there was this peak over here. And I knew all the stuff because I had researched it. And I wanted to bring something like this with me, especially when it was just me and my boy, because, man, we're going deep into the woods alone in the dark, and there's bears, right? I don't want to get eaten by a bear. And we're sleeping in hammocks. So that, I mean, that's like a burrito for a bear, right? Just a human wrapped in a little thing. I don't want to get eaten by a bear. So I have this little thing and I slept with it next to me, right? Like, Lord Jesus, protect me, and also GPS, keep me safe. But I believe that with all of our devices, with all of our stuff, we're in real danger of losing our sense of adventure. We're in real danger of losing our sense of adventure. See, we have this continual air of safety. So even as we got back down the hill and we're driving home, I didn't have directions. I knew where I was going. But still, I asked my device to direct me home. And I feel like we're losing our sense of adventure. See, I can go and I have got a safety net, but I believe that we've got to relearn this ancient act, this ancient process of trusting God as these disciples did. And it's not going to look exactly like the way that the disciples did it, but I believe there's something for us to learn, that we've got to learn to step out without a safety net, to leave our stuff behind and say, Jesus, where you lead me, I'm going to go. If there's bears there, I believe you're going to protect me. If I get lost, I believe you'll give me directions and I'll be found. We've got to regain that sense of adventure, that radical trusting of God as these disciples did. Because I'll tell you what, when you don't bring your extra tunic and you don't bring your money belt and you don't bring food or provisions for the trail and you go and you just trust God, I'll tell you, it grows something of faith in you. And I don't know what that looks like in your journey, but we've got to regain that sense of adventure, that sense of radical trusting in God. Because it's a place of trusting. That's the place where Jesus can equip and prepare us for the journey, for his purpose, for our lives, as he did with these men. So he didn't just send them to the wolves. He gave them power and authority before they left. He gave them what they needed. See, Jesus is calling each one of us to take a step of faith. The question is, will you say yes? Will you say yes to Jesus' call? I believe he was doing that to these disciples. He was telling them, I want you to go without knowing what you're going to encounter, without knowing what you're going to see around the corner. But because they stepped out in faith, they were able to see the power of God at work in their lives. Imagine what radical and transformative world change would take place if each one of us in this room would say, God, I'm willing to say yes when my comfort would say no. God, I'm willing to step out in faith and say yes when I don't know what's around the corner. If we had faith like these men did. And let me just say it, your step of faith is not going to be like theirs. Because I believe God very often doesn't do the same thing twice. He doesn't do the same, doesn't ask us to do exactly the same method or methodology. See, to be effective to God, we simply have to put him first. We got to put him above our possessions and our stuff and all the safety nets that I believe we hide behind in our modern world. And we've got to trust him more than our technology or our gadgets or our money or our stuff. See, it's okay to have these things as long as those things don't have us. As long as we don't begin to build trust in those things more than we trust in Almighty God. See, we must not become encumbered by our things or our lifestyles or even our recreation or our hobbies, those good things that we can so easily turn into God things. But we've got to put God first. See, if we want to live the kingdom life here on this earth, we've got to trust that God is in control, that he's got this, that if I go out without my cell phone, I won't die, right? Sometimes I feel like when I leave my house without my phone, I'm going to die. What if I get stranded on the side of the road, right? What's going to happen? Same thing that would have happened 15 years ago. We'll make it. But will you trust that God is in control? And that's a rhetorical question, but I want you to answer that question to yourself. Do you trust that God's in control? See, when life feels in control and you've got the reins, it's easy to say, oh, I trust he's in control. Sure. But what would change if you intentionally made space to go and leave behind the safety nets and say, Jesus, I trust that you're in control. I trust that you've got this. To serve, what would happen if you made space for God in your calendar in a new way, that you made space to serve in his church, you made space to intentionally love your neighborhood, space to intentionally say, God, who have you sent me to in this city? See, we also learn from this tiny snippet of instruction that Jesus had an intended posture of attitude for his disciples, and that's this. As followers of Jesus, we are to be a people who bless first and lead with grace. See, Jesus was always doing this sort of thing. He was asking his people to bless those that others would want to curse. And we all know people like that, don't we? Come on, you can think of a couple, maybe one or two people that deserve cursing, that you're like, I don't like that guy. But Jesus says, there's something good that happens when we will choose to bless instead of cursing them. Sometimes it feels good to curse instead of bless. It just does. It feels good to be mad at somebody. You don't have to be righteous to say, I mean, it feels good, but Jesus calls us to a higher standard, something that's going to be for our good, something that might feel good for a moment, but it's going to wreck us. Jesus says, I'm calling you to something different. Jesus says this, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And a little bit later he says, and as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. He says in the beginning to those who hear, are you listening this morning? Do you hear the voice of Jesus? See, the world says, hate your enemies and curse those who are evil and wicked to you. But Jesus, he calls us to another road, a higher road. He says, bless those people who curse you. Don't get mad. Pray for them instead. Now, some of us, we're okay praying for our enemies, but we don't pray good prayers, do we? It's like, get them, God, right? Come on, just smite that guy, right? No, no, that's not the prayer. Jesus says that we would pray for blessings. Bless those who curse you. See, what does Jesus call his followers to do here in our story in Luke 9? It says, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom and to heal. Say proclaim.
Proclaim.
Say heal. He sent them to proclaim and to heal, to be messengers of the good news and to bless with something that people needed. He sent them to heal the cities that they were sent to. Oh, sure, they were to tell people about this coming kingdom and this king that was come to save and to redeem and to restore. But their job was to lead with a blessing, to lean into blessing their cities and the places that they would go to. Now, they were going to many who would reject them. That's just the reality. They were going to people that maybe didn't like them. Many who would turn their backs on these guys and reject them, and that's okay. Jesus would later elaborate a little bit further in Luke chapter 10, verse 5. It says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be on this house. Peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. Let me just ask you a question. What would happen if we lived our lives in this world with an attitude like that? That instead of being messengers of any other thing, we'd be messengers that would greet people and say peace to you. That would be a people of peace, a people of blessing, a people who are blessed first, loved first, and allowed God to sort out all the rest of the sins and the mistakes and the brokenness and all the rest. But what would happen if we would be a people who would lead with grace, lead with blessing our cities and our neighborhoods and our workplaces and all the places that we go? What would happen if we were a people that radically trusted in the power of God to transform the brokenness of our world, telling everyone everywhere about this coming kingdom and this king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who's coming and his amazing kingdom? I believe our world would be revolutionized. See, God is looking for men and for women who will rise up to answer that call. To be men and women, just like the men that we read about in the pages of Scripture that said yes to Jesus' upward call on their life. And as a result, we're able to do amazing things. See, here's the deal, my friends. When we live for an audience of one, the world will take notice. And this is the absolutely paradoxical portion of our faith, that when we live our lives exclusively for God, it's amazing how we tend to start loving our neighbor as ourselves, don't we? We tend to start blessing those people who have hurt us, and instead of cursing those who curse us, blessing those who curse us. And it changes everything as we put God first in our lives and live for his purposes. You know, it is precisely these types of men and women throughout history that have been used mightily of God. People have said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to leave behind all the distractions and say, Jesus, I trust you. I trust that you've got an epic adventure planned for me, and I trust you with the outcome. The people that do that, the men and women that do, are the people that, man, they're not looking for the spotlight, but they're the people we tend to hear about. Names like Mother Teresa comes to mind. Think of folks like her, but people who have world-changing impact. Sometimes we think of, you know, the disciples and the impact that they made, but you just look at the pages of Scripture. You see women like Esther. Weren't looking for glory, weren't looking for attention. In fact, I was just reminded of this Scripture. Lisa shared this with me this week after my message last weekend, and I feel it's exactly this point. Esther 4:14. She's being encouraged. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And this is what's said to Esther. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. See, she was reminded of this truth. And again, we see people who are used by God, not because they have the most extraordinary talents, but because they're right where God has put them, that God has set them up, and they said yes. That they said yes to Jesus at the right time where God had put them. And we see it again and again with the Bible, as well as we see it in Christian history. We see men and women of faith that have said yes to Jesus' call and said, God, what if I was born for such a time as this? What if the circumstances that are crazy in my life and the things that I wish I could change, what if you intended for me to be right here, right now, that I might be a light in the darkness, that I might make a difference where I've been planted, that I might do something great with my life? We see it with women like Corrie Ten Boom. Many of you know her story when I say her name. But if you're not familiar with her story, she was at the right place at one of her nation's darkest moments. See, she lived during the Holocaust, and she and her family were Christians. And their faith inspired them to serve their community, to serve their society, offering shelter and food and money to those in need. And they literally made a difference. But when the Nazis invaded the Netherlands, and the Jewish people began to be persecuted, that's when her family began to shelter and to help those who were being persecuted. In a hidden closet they called the hiding place. Let me just say to you, friends, God's got a hiding place. He wants to be our shelter and our refuge in time of need. And she made an incredible difference. Her and her family made an incredible difference in the lives of countless men and women. And history over and over again records people just like her. People who aren't standing on the big platform, that aren't on the, you know, on the news, but are simply quietly saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to God's call for their lives, and as a result, they make a difference. See, when Jesus' disciples went out into the world and they said yes, they said, God will bless our city, even though they might not bless us, they might curse us. We're going to bless our city. Something radical happened that maybe that they didn't expect. It caught the attention of the world. The people took notice of it. And the unbelieving world will stand up and take note when God's people will rise up and go out to bless their community. That's what happens here. Luke 7 or 9:7 says, and Herod, who was kind of a big deal, when Herod the Tetrarch heard about what was happening, he was perplexed. Goes on to say, and he sought to see him. He wanted to meet Jesus after hearing all the things his disciples were doing. Herod was not a fan of the church. You go to his Facebook page, he would not like the church, right? He blocked the church. He didn't like the church. But when he heard about what Jesus was doing, what his disciples were doing, how they were blessing and healing sick people that didn't even like them, he heard about it, he took notice, and he sought to meet this Jesus. What if instead of giving people something to talk about that was salacious or wicked, what if instead of being the people that gave the world something bad to talk about, we gave them something great to talk about? What would happen in our world? And church, I'm proposing that we give our community something to talk about, something good to talk about. They say, why would they love that way? Why would they serve in that way? Why would they bless when there's no benefit to them in blessing? We give them a reason to scratch their heads and say, what? They did what? Why would a church love that way? Why would my neighbor love me that way? Why would that woman do that thing for me that I didn't deserve? Why would they love with no strings attached? Let's give them something to talk about, church. That's my prayer. And I've got a few ways as a church I'm praying and asking God, how can we go over the top in loving our neighborhood and loving our city? But I want you to begin thinking and praying with me. Asking God, would you give me wisdom as a person, as an individual, as a family, on how I can use my life, I can use my business, I can use my house and my neighborhood and the things you've given me, God, that I can be a blessing, that I can live not just for the approval of people. I'm not gonna do this because I want attention. I'm gonna do this because I love you. And you've sent me to bless people and to love people that are around me. And let me just tell you, church, I want us to begin praying that prayer. God, how would you use me? Pray that prayer as families around your dinner table. God, how would you use our dinner table? How would you use our family to make a difference? I want you to pray that in your community groups. God, how would you use this group to bless and serve and just be there for another group of people, another person? God, how can I give them something to talk about and live grace forward and lean into your love? See, God has an amazing adventure planned for your life. I believe that with every fiber of my being. But you've got to trust him with the outcome. And when that means he says, I want you to put your phone down and leave your keys and all your stuff and all the comfort, and I want you to just take a step of faith and trust that I'm going where you're going. I'm going where I'm leading you. He's going to make an incredible difference. Church, would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we respond to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have an amazing plan for our lives. You've got an adventure planned out for us, and your plan is ultimately good, ultimately great, and better than anything we could have ever fashioned for ourselves. We thank you, God, that you love us enough to prepare good things for us, and we choose now, God, in spite of our insecurities, in spite of our doubts, in spite of our fear of leaving behind our comfort zones, God, we declare now, we trust you with the outcomes. We say, Lord, we will walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus, we ask you to equip us and to fill us up with your Spirit for what you want us to do. Just as you filled your disciples and you gave them power and authority to do what you called them to do, God, I pray that you'd fill us up today. You'd give us more of your Spirit today, that as we leave these walls, as we go into our mission field, we would have the empowering and the authority of Jesus as we go. Give us courage, God, to take our next steps of faith needed to fill your purposes in our lives. God, we choose to trust that you are in control, even when life feels out of control. If there's areas of our lives, God, where we've not allowed you in, where we put a box around you, God, help us to break up that box. God, we want to let you out of the box. We want to put you first. And Lord, if there's areas of our lives that we've crowded you out, maybe it's our calendars. God, I pray that you'd help us to have the courage and the wisdom to know how to make room for you. I pray over every man, woman, and child in this place today that you would make us your ambassadors of grace and love. God, help us to live as your sent people in our city, in Simi Valley, in all the places that we go to for work and for recreation, God, in all our circles of influence. God, would you use us as your sent people there? We choose to bless first and to live for an audience of one. God, we want to do what's right in your eyes. May we not be swayed by the crowds or live for the approval of man. But may we continually be in awe of your greatness and of who you are, God. We thank you, Father. Finally, with every head bowed and eyes still closed in this place, perhaps you're here within the sound of my voice and you've never made that commitment to following Jesus. You've never received Jesus' free gift of mercy and grace for your sins. I believe there may be someone here that needs to take that very first step of faith. And if that's you, I want to pray with you in just a moment. With every head bowed and eye closed, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to look up and raise your hand that I can agree with you in prayer. But you've got to take that step of faith. If that's you today, I don't believe you're here by accident. I believe God brought some of you here to make that decision. So if that's you, you need forgiveness for your past, power for your present, and eternal life in your future. If that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you lift up your hand so I can agree with you in prayer? Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else say, that's me today? Thank you, Lord. We love you. Church, can we repeat this prayer with those who may pray it for the first time? Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you for dying on the cross in my place for my sins. I ask you to forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life and heart to be my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate this morning? God is good. I've got a couple things to say. Our ushers are going to come to receive those connect cards and our tithe and offerings in just a moment. But before they do, I just want to say, don't do this alone. Some of you guys are walking through this journey of faith alone. We've got community groups, several community groups around our city. If you're not part of one, please plug yourself into one. Get connected. Start walking with brothers and sisters that can encourage you, can lift you up. We've got information on our website. You can fill it out on your connect card if you want information about one of those. But I want to encourage you to be part of that. We're going to pray for our tithe and our offering this morning. It's a place, if you're a guest with us, again, don't feel any obligation to give or participate. Your presence here is your gift to us. But you can put that connect card in the offering tray as it goes by in just a moment. I want to pray over our tithes and our offerings as we give back to the Lord this morning. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so good to us. God, that you give us everything that we need. And Lord, this morning we pray your blessing over the tithes and offerings that are given. God, I pray for the gifts that are given, that you'd use them, that you'd multiply them to do everything you want to do here in Simi Valley to the ends of the earth through our partnership with missionaries around the world. And God, we pray that you'd bless not only the gift, but bless the giver as we give sacrificially, as we say, not just with our mouths, but with our pocketbooks. God, we trust you with our resources. We pray your blessing over it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I've just got one announcement for you as the ushers are coming with those trays. And it's going to be happening next month on October 3rd. It's our first Wednesday. And this is actually, I should have two firsts on there because this is our first Wednesday. And so all through winter, we're going to have the first Wednesday of the month. We're going to gather together for a time of prayer, a time in the Word. I want to share, if you're serving on one of our dream teams, I really just want to gather together as well. Make sure you're there. And I just want to pray over our church, share time in the Word. It's going to be a good opportunity to do that. So it's the first Wednesday of the month, at least in October, November, and December, and we'll see how far we go after that. But at least be there. Mark it on your calendars. It's a couple weeks away, October 3rd at 7 o'clock. And that is my announcements for you today. Again, if you've not gone through our Next Steps class, I want to encourage you. 2 weeks from today is your opportunity to go through Next Steps, step number one. It's going to be a great opportunity. So would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray a prayer blessing over you before you go. Pray the Lord would impart you and fill you with power and authority as you go. Let me pray over you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your church. Lord, this morning as your church leaves this house, God, as we go out into the places that you're sending us into, God, I pray that you'd fill us with your power, that you'd give us authority to do what you've called us and created us to do. God, may we go knowing that you go with us into our neighborhoods, into our city, into our streets, into our houses, into the places you've sent us. Pray your blessing over your people today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. We'll see you next week.